We continue our series today as we walk through these lessons that are in the gospel in regards to healing. And it's interesting because the message we heard in James today was the power of the tongue, the power of words, the power of speech. And today we also hear the words of a father who desires desperately for his son to be healed. And we hear the words of the Messiah speaking to his disciples as he teaches them on the importance of prayer and healing. We look again at the gospel lesson. We see that the context of our lesson today is after Jesus comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration. We see this in Matthew 17. We see it here in Mark 9, and we also see it in Luke chapter 9, where Jesus comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration and faces the disciples that he left there. Remember, how many disciples did he take with him on the Mount of Transfiguration? Three, right? And so there's, if you think about it, there's 12. So nine of them are down at the bottom of the mountain waiting for Jesus to return. And while they're there, this man brings his son, who has what we would call epilepsy, has epileptic fits, and brings his son to the disciples, and they can't heal him. Now, these are the same disciples that have gone out and came back praising God because they had seen many things happen, right? They had seen demons cast out. They had seen miracles happen, people healed. But for some reason, and we find out later what the reason is, they have not been successful in casting out this demon. So as soon as Jesus comes, the people immediately gather to him. And the Bible says, and when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, what are you arguing about with them? And someone from the crowd answered him. This is the father. Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down and foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. I love the response that Jesus has here because it's kind of, I would say, kind of a frustration, right? Can you see this frustration here? Oh, faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? And then he says to the Father, bring him to me. I love those words, right? Because basically, this is an invitation. It's an invitation to the Father to bring the Son to Jesus. Every time we bring our children to baptism, I think it's that invitation to bring them to Jesus. It's an amazing gift. And this is what happens. And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell to the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Then Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. It has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now that's a polite way of asking, isn't it? When you want to ask somebody politely, you know, with reverence, well, you know, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. How does Jesus respond to that? How does he respond? Does he say, oh, that was a really nice request? No. How does he respond? If you can. Can you just hear him say this? If you can. Just think about it. It's the way somebody says it when he says, if you can. Are you kidding me? If you can. And then he says this, all things are possible for one who believes. Wow. All things are possible for one who believes. What a statement, right? It's such a powerful statement that it brings about a confession, which I think is a powerful confession by the Father, right? What is the confession? Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. Help my unbelief. What a powerful confession. Because doesn't it acknowledge in us our sinful nature that just doesn't want to believe? He says, I believe, help my unbelief. I think that the Father there represents us well when we come to healing. What I want to talk about today is why did Jesus say, okay, I'm going to kind of jump over. And when Jesus saw the crowd, you know, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse. So most of them said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. But what I'd like to look at is the comments that happened next, because I think this really gives us some insight. And when he had entered the house with his disciples, they asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" In Matthew's gospel, he responds to them, "Because you lacked faith." So obvious, right? Because you lacked faith. But here he said to them, "This kind, this spirit, cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." And I want to mention something. In many texts, not the majority, but many texts of Scripture, and this is what happens over time when there's more, the New Testament there are so many fragments of the New Testament that we have available to us, and the majority end with prayer. But many have prayer and fasting. And I think it's important because it's what I think Jesus is trying to say here is that it's a lack of faith, and the roadblock to experiencing this is a lack of prayer and fasting, meaning it's a lack of our desire to align our will with God's will. Our desire to do things on our own strength and our own power, to do things the way we want them, rather than really getting aligned with the Father, really getting aligned with God. And that's what it means by prayer. When I was younger, I used to think, well, this is just like, you know how when people are trying to lift something, they look like in a state of anguish. Some state a state of constipation, but it's really like in a state of anguish. They're trying to lift something. It's like they're putting more energy into it. And when I first read this, I thought, well, that's what he means. He means just pray harder, pray longer, pray louder, pray faster. If you're me, pray more, more, more. That's how I read it for years. That's what we need to do. We just need to pray longer, pray faster, pray more, pray harder. Just pray. Because that's the way it came across to me. And if you see how that might come across that way? But it was interesting because when I started studying this and looking at the whole idea of healing as a way of bringing all the brokenness back to whole, I thought about the fact that, you know, Jesus, what he's saying there is, he's saying the problem is, there's lots of commentaries in this. You can find almost any opinion you want out there, but I'm going to share from my heart what I believe the Lord is saying here when he's talking to his disciples. He's saying, I want you to get to a point where you see that this is all God and not you. Or this is all about what does God want to have done here? What does the Lord want? What does the Father want? Obviously, the Father's will was for this demon to be cast out, for the spirit to be gone, and never enter him again, right? This is what Jesus said. But this was an example of where I think that when Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples were feeling their oats. They were kind of feeling like, you know, we got this figured out. We can handle this. And instead of spending time in prayer and fasting and discerning and aligning their will with God's will and asking, Lord, what do you want? They kind of had a formula. We got this figured out. We know exactly what to do. Okay, be gone. And what happened? Nothing. And I think that we run the risk as Christians today, even though we're in a little bit different situation. This was before the cross and the resurrection. We're in a different situation. We're on the side of victory, right? Jesus has already gone into the tomb, and he has risen from the dead, and we are Easter people, and we know that we have the power of victory because Christ has won the victory, right? Amen? So we're in a different place, but we still have the same difficulty as sinful human beings in that we sometimes think, okay, we got this figured out, and we kind of just go, okay, Lord, I got it, thank you, and we just take it on our own. What can happen when we do that? Well, sometimes we could do a pretty good job of faking it, can't we? We're smart people. One thing I liked about coming to Ann Arbor, well, maybe I don't know if I liked it, but one of the realities of coming to Ann Arbor, a lot of smart people, a lot of very intelligent people. We can do things. We can figure things out. The question is, does our will align with God's will? Are we praying for God's desire to be done than ours? This is a very important question because we can do a lot of things. We have the ability. Remember that, some of you, this is going to age me, but how many remember the $6 million man? We have the capability, right? We do. We have a lot of things at our disposal that we can kind of think we can just, you know, and all those younger people going, what in the world is he talking about? Well, anyways, got to watch it on old TV. But, you know, it's amazing because we think we have the ability. We think we have it figured out. We think we've got the formula. We think we've got it mastered. And then we find out that we're trying to do it on our own. And last week I mentioned, and I asked, somebody brought it to my attention, and I said, it's dangerous to pray for healing. And what I meant by that was it's dangerous, and I think it's a bad word to use, and I'm not going to use it ever again, because when I think about things, I'm thinking from the perspective of my experience. My experience has been that a lot of times when people pray for healing, they're not prepared for what's going to happen. And they think, oh, this is going to be awesome, because they're thinking of healing from the perspective of this is what I want, so this is what God's going to do. But the problem is that a lot of times, and I'll give you an example. Prayed for a long time for someone who I really believe the Lord wanted to heal. I really got a sense from the Spirit that the Lord wanted to heal this person. And we prayed for them. We anointed them with oil. We prayed for them. And we had met with them 3 times to pray. Now, please don't misunderstand me when I tell you this, because not every person is, every person is unique, every story. But what happened was, at the end of the 3rd time, as we're leaving the office and we're going out, the person said this. They said, oh, well, I was wondering what I was going to do if the Lord healed me. Because they were on disability, and if they would have been healed, would have changed their whole life. Would have changed everything, where they lived, how they lived. And I don't know if you know this, but we by nature don't like change. How many of us would agree with that? So what I meant by it's dangerous to pray for this is it's dangerous to pray. Again, I won't do that again, but I'm just saying that's what I meant when I said that, because there are people who go into it with prayer saying, yes, this is what I want. And then the sinful human nature who wants to control everything says, is that what you really want? Are you really ready? You see, prayer and fasting, as Jesus puts it to his disciples, I believe is for them to be ready to pray for what the Father's will is, and also to be ready for what the Lord's going to do in us. Whenever you enter into ministry, whether it's prayer ministry for healing, whether it's leading a Bible study, whether it's whatever, recognize Satan does not like what you're doing. We are a priest of all believers, correct? When we are living out our lives as Christians, when we are living out our vocation as a Christian, recognize Satan does not like what you are doing. If you're raising your family, if you're speaking to the lives of your grandchildren, if you're sharing with students, if you're working in areas where you can share your faith as you work. Satan does not like what you are doing. You're a threat to his kingdom, right? When you're living in God's kingdom. And so therefore, recognize that. And that's why it's so important to be in prayer and fasting, to ask the Lord, what is your will? What is your desire? I loved it. We were at this conference in Nashville, and it was a really good conference. I was thankful to get to go this week. And I got to go to listen to this Anglican. And the Anglican Church is having kind of a revival in the United States. That's not the Episcopal Church, but the Anglican Church. And they're actually in fellowship talks with us. And so I went to the workshop, and I loved what this one Anglican guy said in his wonderful accent. It was so nice to go to this conference, by the way. You ever get a chance to go to Nashville? Because I felt like my accent wasn't really noticeable among all the other ones. Kind of nice, actually, for a change. But he said this. He said, what the heart desires, the will chooses, and the mind justifies. Listen to it carefully again. What the heart desires, the will chooses, and the mind justifies. So what does prayer and fasting do? Prayer and fasting, in this sense that Jesus is talking about here, is to help us to get our hearts aligned with the Lord's heart, with God's heart, right? It's to get our hearts aligned so that when we're doing things, our heart's desire is what God desires. Therefore, our will choose what God desires, and our mind will justify what God desires, not what we desire. Amen? That's why this happens where it happens, and Jesus teaches on faith. Because it's that alignment of our will with God's will that produces. This is what he says in Matthew 17:20. He said, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, when I was driving around the Rocky Mountains in BC, this concerned me. How many of you have seen a mountain move? Yeah, kind of scary, don't you think? Mountain moving. Kind of a scary thought. But why did Jesus say that? Because he said because we can't do that? Why did he say it? Because what if the mountains move? What if we get healed? What if the Lord gives us gifts that are supernatural and they freak people out? What if things happen around us that we can't explain? I hate what ifs. But it's a question, isn't it? Prayer and fasting prepare us for the right perspective, attitude, and discerning of His will. Prayer and fasting is really a surrender to God's will. It's a surrender to the Lord's asking the question, what is it to be healed? What does it mean to be healed? Is it to be healed of our sin? Well, that's already been accomplished on the cross. Does it mean to be healed of physical ailments? Yes. But we also die. There's some things in our life that eventually we succumb to. So it's a surrendering for real healing. The prayer is a surrendering of our will to God's and allowing us to understand His will to be done. Prayer is asking God to align you with His will rather than asking Him to align with yours. Brothers and sisters, it is my prayer as we talk about healing, we talk about attitude, We talk about perspective. We talk, as Jesus did with his disciples, about faith. That we would recognize the power of prayer. Prayer isn't just to ask for the things that we need, but it's to receive from the Lord his forgiveness, his love, his grace, his truth, and his perspective, his desires, his will. As we move forward, we are operating not in our own wisdom, but in his wisdom, discerning what he wants for us each and every day. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that was the way we could live each day? To wake up in the morning and say, Lord, what is your will for us this day? And to align our will with his. And I just got to be honest with you. I mean, I do this all the time. I know what I need to get done, and so I say, Lord, would you help me with this? What am I asking him to do? Instead of asking, what is your will, I'm asking him, you know, come alongside of me and help with my plans. So what I'm asking us is, as we contemplate the gift of healing, which I believe to be real, and I believe the Lord wants more healing, I'm asking us to do what Jesus said. If you want to drive these things out, they require more prayer, and I would include fasting there, because I think that that helps us. Because if you're really going to spend the time to listen to what the Lord has to say, it requires us giving of other things so that we can spend the time with God to truly align our will with his, to truly seek his wisdom and his discernment, to seek what is his plan, what is his purpose, what does he want, so that our heart's desire will align with his desire, our will choose his will, and our minds will be justified by the word, his word, that teaches us his truth and helps us to know that he desires wholeness and healing for us all. May our wills truly be aligned with his. Amen.